In Ventress's company, it had been easy to think about what he had gained, not what he had given up, and would give up forever if he were to remain with her. For a heartbeat, he stood frozen. Then, with a roar, he attacked. Never had his blows been as strong as now, when he was fueled with white-hot fury. His lightsaber was a blur as he struck. Dooku retreated under the assault, but to Voss it seemed as though the Count didn't have much trouble parrying the blows.
"He's manipulating you,"
came Ventress's voice, weak but determined.
"Don't listen to him."
She was alive. With renewed will, he struck again. But his green blade was caught by Dooku's red one, as Dooku countered and leaned in. Colors from the glowing lightsabers and the fireworks reaching a crescendo in the air above cast dancing, eerie light on the Count's face. They were so close that Voss could smell the floral scent of wine on Dooku's breath.
"I can sense the dark side is already strong in you," Dooku said. "Stronger than it ever was in Ventress."
Voss, surprised, cast a quick glance at Ventress. She was on her feet now. Her short, fair hair was matted with blood, but she held her lightsaber firmly. The Count was lying, and Voss would have none of it.
"You can't deceive me, Sith."
He leapt over Dooku, landing on his feet behind this man, who was the only thing that stood between him and his happiness with Ventress. He lashed out with a blow that should have removed Dooku's head, but the Count dodged the lightsaber easily.
"Oh no, Master Voss. I am not deceiving you, but Ventress is."
Voss shook his head wildly, but the faintest tendril of doubt had already crept in. She had insisted he not progress further. Why? Why wouldn't she want to use every tool they had at their disposal to bring down Count Dooku?
"She's using you," Dooku stated.
He struck again, and Voss was forced to back up against the wall, parrying desperately.
"She has not taught you your true potential. Not as I can."
"Quinlan!"
The usage of his first name jolted Voss. Ventress rarely used it, nor did he often call her Asajj. He whirled away just in time to see her charging. Grievous! How had the general... Voss planted his boot in Dooku's stomach, taking the Count by surprise, then shifted his weight and kicked Grievous with his other leg. The cyborg tumbled, bellowing over the railing. Too late. Voss realized that Grievous had a firm grip on Ventress's arm. He watched, horrified, as the two fell together.
"Asajj!"
he cried. Instinctively, he moved toward the railing. At the same moment, out of the corner of his eye, he saw Dooku bringing his lightsaber down.
"If he's killed her..."
Voss reached for the final layer of darkness that had slumbered inside him until this moment. Ventress had warned against using it. But why?
He needed it.
Fresh strength surged through Voss. An inferno of shadows fueled by the poison of his raw, unchecked emotions. He released it all. For a second, Dooku looked alarmed at the renewed attack. Voss dived and leapt, darted and struck, like a snake, leaping onto the railings and kicking Dooku square in the face with his boot. The Count's head snapped backward, and for one wild, glorious instant, Voss thought he had broken Dooku's neck. But then Dooku rallied and pressed the attack. He was smiling broadly, his eyes gleaming with approval.
"Yes, use your anger. Surely Ventress told you that it is the only way you can defeat me."
Ventress! A burst of fear filled Voss's chest. He grabbed it and bent it to his will. His throat was raw from primal cries as he went after Dooku with everything he had. And this time, Dooku went down. He scuttled backward, still parrying blows from the ground. But the sight gladdened Voss's heart. All he needed to do now was to get past the old man's blade.
A quick feint to the chest, a twist of his wrist, and Dooku's lightsaber went flying. The green blade was a centimeter away from Dooku's throat, and the Count froze, staring up at his adversary.
Boss took a deep breath and lifted the blade over his head. He wanted to execute Dooku deliberately, not just kill him in a fight. He wanted to see those eyes go wide with terror as the Count saw death approach. He should have been prepared for Dooku's next move, but he wasn't. The man who had a second before been cowering now seized Voss's wrist as the green lightsaber descended. A sharp tug, and the roles were reversed. Now it was Voss who sprawled on the ground. Dooku had a knee planted firmly in Voss's back, using the force to augment his own not inconsiderable strength. Voss couldn't move. The Count twisted the arm with which Voss still clutched his humming lightsaber, squeezing down with inhuman strength on the webbing between thumb and forefinger. Voss willed his hand to obey, but it was useless. The lightsaber fell, and the green glow vanished. Devastated, Voss watched it roll to the edge, between the rails of the balcony, teeter there for a moment, and then tumble out of sight. Ventress's lightsaber flew out of her hand as she and Grievous plunged downward. She struck the ledge of a lower level hard, her head hanging over the edge. Grievous was atop her, his slitted golden eyes hungry for blood as he growled down at her, his foot on her throat. He seized her with his four hands and hurled her down to the level below them. She slammed against the wall beside one of the elegant windows and crumpled to the ledge. She was taking a bad beating, she realized in some distant part of her mind. The earlier blow to her skull should have killed her. As it was, it had knocked her out for at least a couple of moments, and her head now ached violently. Her vision was untrustworthy, and as she got to her feet, a wave of dizziness overcame her. She had no time to indulge it. She looked up and saw Grievous leaping toward her, issuing a guttural sound that was intended as triumphant laugh, and she rolled to the right. Ventress was wounded, disoriented, and had lost her lightsaber. There was nothing to do but give up or fight. And Ventress was not about to give up. She snarled and charged at Grievous, executing a kick with her bare feet that still managed to send the larger and heavier cyborg staggering backward. He growled, clearly surprised. Blaster fire whizzed past her, and Ventress leapt clear, taking cover beneath a metal support beam. As she heard the marching battle droids come closer, she glanced up. She would not be trapped here. Summoning the force to lift her, she crouched, then sprang upward, balancing delicately. Movement caught her eye. Voss's lightsaber. She reached out in the force and seized it. It sped toward her. Still warm from Voss's grip, Ventress refused to think about what was happening to him. If she didn't eliminate the threat here, Dooku and Grievous would come after both of them. She leapt to the lower level and began reducing the battle droids to scrap metal. She batted the blast back directly toward one, sliced through a second, and kicked a third off the ledge. She turned toward Grievous, her face bathed in a green glow. Grievous reached down for his own lightsabers and growled in frustration to find them missing.
Detain her while I go help the Count.
Roger,
came a chorus of high voices from the droids. There were 10 of them.
I have no time for this,
Ventress muttered and surged forward. It was over, and Voss knew that he had failed. He heard the tramping of at least half a dozen battle droids as they formed a semicircle around him. Dooku, having retrieved his lightsaber, stood holding it as he gazed down at Voss's prone figure.
Go ahead, Voss said through clenched teeth. Finish it!
But Dooku shook his head.
Oh no, Master Voss. I'm actually rather impressed. I now have other plans for you.
His hand shot out. Blue streaks sprang from his fingers and danced over and through Voss's body. The pain was like nothing Voss had ever experienced. It simultaneously burned and froze him. Every muscle tensed and cramped. His body spasmed uncontrollably, and his heart tried to burst from his chest. He heard someone screaming, as if from a long distance, and it took him a moment to recognize his own voice. After a second, or a thousand years, the torment ended. His body sprawled limply on the stone, and he could offer no resistance as metallic hands closed on his arms and began to drag him away.
Quinlan! No!
Ventress was still alive. Summoning the last reserves of his strength, Voss craned his neck to see her. He tried to shout her name, but it came out as a dry whisper. More droids surged past him, all firing on her. Willing himself to stay conscious, Voss struggled feebly, his gaze on Ventress. She stayed and fought for a while, but there were too many, even for Asajj Ventress. The last thing that Quinlan Voss saw was the woman he was falling in love with turn and flee, abandoning him to the mercies of Count Dooku. It was only then that Voss realized that the necklace about her long, slender throat had been crafted to look like a snake. Ventress huddled in the sewers. Above, she heard the distinctive voices of battle droids.
Nothing,
one of the droids reported.
There has been no sign of the intruder. Orders are to keep looking,
another replied.
Move on to 66 through 99. Roger!
When she could no longer hear them, Ventress relaxed. Her whole body ached. She needed to tend her injuries and rest. But for a moment she didn't move. Ventress held Voss's lightsaber, looking at it, seeing it again in his hands, remembered when he had given it to her on Dathomir.
Take care of this, because I'm going to want it back.
Don't worry. It'll be waiting for you. I promise.
She had kept it safe for him then. She would do so again. Pain that had nothing to do with her physical wounds threatened to overcome her. For a wild moment, Ventress thought about contacting Obi-Wan Kenobi. Voss had told her that they were good friends, and that Kenobi had been the one to suggest involving her in the first place. Ventress even knew which bar hosted the Jedi's meetings. The Jedi would not believe her. Not even Obi-Wan Kenobi would entertain the notion that she had never planned for this to happen. Who else? Ventress couldn't do this alone. But she was too drained to think clearly now. She had to get to safety. And then, fiercely, she whispered,
Quinlan, I won't give up. I won't let him have you. By the blood of my sisters, I swear it.
Chapter 22.
There was no way for Voss to reckon the passage of time in the cell. It could have been a few days or a month. The lights were always on. Meals, when they came, were at irregular intervals. Droids monitored his sleep patterns to ensure that he was jolted awake in agony during the REM stage. Voss was no stranger to torture. In the past, his mastery of the Force had enabled him to focus his mind and distract himself from the pain. Hitherto, however, those who would see him suffer were strangers to the Force, and had been after specific information. Neither was the case with Dooku. The Count came when he pleased, in silence, sometimes to observe Voss simply hanging, suspended, while a torture droid went about its programming. Other times, Dooku entered the cell, casually blasting Voss with force lightning so that the former Jedi Master was reduced to screaming and writhing helplessly. Each time, Voss tried to get him to talk, to find out what Dooku wanted. The Count liked to gloat, and it was possible that he might let something slip that might be of help. Some reference to the layout of this place, perhaps, or an unguarded comment on troop movements. It was a futile effort. Voss was nothing more than an animal tormented for no apparent reason, save for Dooku's whim. And Voss knew, despite his training, both in the light and now the dark side of the Force, if that went on long enough, that was what he would eventually become. So when Voss heard Dooku's footfalls over the hum of the torture device that bathed him in erratic pulses of energy designed to target nerve endings, he was not hopeful. But he refused to give up. For the 10th, or perhaps the 1,000th time, Voss lifted his head. He twitched as another agonizing pulse seared him, but bit back a cry. Dooku, as always, was smiling, as if he were a kindly grandparent watching a child at play. For the 1,000th, or perhaps 10th time, Voss asked in a voice raw from screaming,
"Why not just kill me and be done with it?"
"Tell me,"
Dooku said,
"what did you hope to gain by teaming up with Asajj Ventress?"
All this time of silence, and he asked this? Voss was so surprised that the pain receded for a moment. The droid monitoring his reactions gave a passable impression of a frown and upped the level. Voss couldn't entirely smother a hiss of agony.
"I think that's obvious enough,"
he said through the pain.
"I was sent to eliminate you."
Dooku stroked his beard thoughtfully.
"It seems a desperate strike by the Jedi Council, not to rely solely on their vaunted Jedi Knights for such a task. Has the Order become so weak in my absence?"
Voss rallied as best he could, looking Dooku square in the eye. He managed to chuckle.
"Look around, Dooku. On every front, the Republic is winning the war."
"I'm so glad you think so. But you are changing the subject."
He shook a chiding finger at Voss.
"I was not asking you about the war. I was speaking of Ventress."
Instantly, Voss was on alert. He had been in so much pain when he had been captured, he wasn't sure what exactly had happened. Had Ventress abandoned him by choice? Or had they forced her off? His memories of that night were so fuzzy.
"Ventress has no sense of charity,"
Dooku went on.
"She would not help you unless she had something to gain."
"She sure hates you,"
Voss offered.
"Of course she does. But she never works with anyone she can't control."
A sick jolt went through Voss. He thought about the previous attempts Ventress had made on Dooku's life. Then she was in the company of her sisters, or else had, quite literally, created and shaped what she had thought would be the perfect co-assassin. Had she been creating and shaping him as well?
"Have caution, Quinlan," Kenobi had warned him. "Ventress is nothing if not manipulative. She won't hesitate to use your trust against you the instant it serves her own selfish purposes."
"Well,"
Voss said, forcing his voice to be confident,
"maybe you don't know her like I do."
Dooku arched an eyebrow, suddenly keenly attentive.
"No,"
the Count mused.
"Perhaps I do not. But I see you do know her. Quite intimately, in fact."
Voss didn't reply. Dooku stepped closer.
"I sense much fear in you, Voss."
Voss seized the chance. He would control the fear, turn it to anger. Anger turns to hate, and hate made him strong.
"You're wrong," he scoffed. "I'm not afraid of you."
"No, I don't believe you are.
Dooku agreed.
But you are afraid.
Voss tried to redirect his thoughts, to focus on the loathing he felt for the man standing so smugly, so certain of his power before him. But he was so weary and weak, and the pain kept directing his thoughts from strength to fear.
Your thoughts betray you,
Dooku said, and despairing, Voss knew it was true.
Ventress was teaching you. Well, well, this explains much.
You're wrong. There's nothing she could teach me.
Dooku shook his head and sighed.
You do yourself no favors by lying to me. You yourself said that you had a good teacher. Don't you remember?
Voss struggled to keep his face from revealing the stab of anguish as he realized that, indeed, he had forgotten. What else was he not remembering?
I left the Jedi because I had grown beyond them. But I see now that you and I, Voss, have much in common.
Voss rallied at the abhorrent words.
You and I are nothing alike. You're a traitor.
And what are you?
Dooku's normally modulated voice cracked like a whip.
You were raised in the Jedi Temple, but now you reek of the dark side. Soon enough, you will stop denying the truth of so very many things. And you will understand that I am not a traitor, but a visionary. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hatred leads to suffering.
The Count nodded to the torture droid. This time, Voss convulsed in the grip of the blue crackle of electricity.
But what the Jedi failed to teach you, what I have learned, is how to persevere, to pass through the suffering, and achieve ultimate power.
Dooku nodded again. The pain stopped. Sweat ran down Voss's face. His heart was racing, his body quivering in remembered agony.
Do not worry, my apprentice. The lessons that Ventress began, I shall now complete.
He waved a dismissive hand to the droid, and Voss tensed in anticipation of the next wave of electricity that would jolt through his body. Dooku turned. Voss's screams followed him down the hall. Akar Deshu fell into step with Obi-Wan Kenobi as the Jedi Master strode toward the council chamber. He said nothing, merely kept pace with the human. And Kenobi sighed.
Desh, he said quietly. You know I cannot say anything about Master Voss or his assignment.
I know, Master Kenobi, Desh said quietly. You do not need to speak for me to know that something's gone wrong.
Kenobi gave the smaller Jedi an irritated glance. There are times when I wish that certain Jedi were not quite as Force-sensitive as they are. And yes, I know precisely how that sounds.
I said it last time, and I will say it every time. If there is anything I can do to help...
You are rather too attached to Voss, Desh.
So are you, Master. Admit it. Voss does have a way of getting under one's skin.
So does a tick, or a splinter, Kenobi muttered. Nonetheless, he put a hand on the Moran's shoulder and gave him a troubled smile as he entered the council chamber. Yoda, Windu, Ki-Adi Mundi, Sacy Tin, and Plo Koon were present. All eyes turned to Kenobi as he entered and bowed to Master Yoda. Yoda's expression was hopeful, but almost immediately he looked down and his ears drooped.
No word have you had from Master Voss?
He said heavily. None, Kenobi said. No word from and no word of. It's as if he's completely vanished. As we discussed, I've continued to show up at our prearranged meeting place and time.
Perhaps Ventress discovered his identity,
Plo Koon said.
And killed him for deceiving her.
I think not, Kenobi said.
If such had been the case, Ventress would have made sure that word of her displeasure with the Council reached us. He did not elaborate on the various grisly ways she might have done so.
Asajj Ventress is a known Sith,
Ki-Adi-Mundi said. Former Sith, Kenobi corrected, marveling not for the first time that he was now in the curious position of defending Ventress's honor.
Is anyone even capable of being a former Sith? Windu demanded. It's possible he's tricked Master Voss into going down a dark path with her. And now we have a rogue Jedi on our hands.
Possible, Kenobi agreed. Provided any of you really think that Quinlan Voss is so weak-willed that he'd forsake everything he's known his entire life. The man was raised in the temple.
A powerful allure is that which is forbidden,
Yoda said. Until we know something, anything for certain, it's unwise to speculate, Kenobi said.
We don't even know if he's still alive.
Mace's eyes were dark.
This could be part of the plan.
It could be, Mace said. Or he could be dead. The point is we don't know. And we should, Master Kenobi. We should.
Ventress stood for a moment in the doorway of Chalmun's cantina, letting her eyes adjust to the darkness from the blazing sun's light of Tatooine. This was not the path she would have preferred to tread, but she could think of no other option. It felt like eons ago when she had entered it for the first time. Then, too, she had been reeling with a devastating sense of loss after Grievous had slain her entire clan. But then, she had been stumbling, directionless. Now, Asajj Ventress had but one laser-keen sense of purpose. She scanned the crowd, and her gaze fell upon a familiar green reptilian face above a bright yellow flight suit. Familiar, too, was the perky young woman with bright orange pigtails and lavender skin. And, yes, he was there, too. Ventress steeled herself and headed for them. Bossk spotted her, and his face grew even sourer with a grimace. Ventress hadn't realized such a thing was possible. He leaned into a booth to talk to an unseen occupant. A moment later, two attractive Twi'lek girls slipped out of the booth, throwing Ventress wary glances.
Hey!
Called a voice Ventress remembered, boyish and intense.
I'm not paying for all of you.
Bossk folded his arms and glared at her as she approached. In no mood for banter, Ventress stared him down. After a second or two, he threw up his hands in a, hey, all right, I'm backing off gesture, stepped back, and she slid into the booth across from Boba Fett. His eyes widened in shock. Then he scowled.
No name, he said. You've got a lot of guts coming here.
Ventress ignored the comment. She leaned in and said quietly and with sincerity,
I need your help.
Boba Fett's double take was priceless. Then he cupped a hand exaggeratedly to his ear.
I'm sorry?
Ventress choked down the urge to strike him.
You heard me.
He smirked.
No, I don't think I did. Say it again.
For some reason, the irritation bled out of her. All she felt was exhaustion and a hopelessness that needed to be shut down right now, lest it run over her completely. She repeated in the same calm voice,
I need your help.
He scoffed, shaking his head in disbelief.
After what you did to me on Quarzite.
As she had suspected, Fett indeed had not gotten over being insulted, force-choked, bound, gagged, and tossed into a trunk. Even if Ventress had left everyone their fair share of payment. He got up to leave, disgusted. Ventress shot her hand across the table, shoving him back into his seat.
Sit!
She snapped, stabbing a finger at him.
Why should I? Because I need your help.
Lotsratsi and Bosk, hovering just outside the booth, exchanged glances. Lots shook her head in disbelief.
And?
Ventress said, including the two of them in the conversation.
I'm willing to pay. I want to hire you and your syndicate.
That got everyone's attention, even Boba's. He looked unconvinced as he replied,
That's going to be expensive. If I even decide to bother with you, I have the money.
His brows drew together.
Credits won't square you and me.
He took a swig of his drink and drew his sleeve across his mouth.
Not even 100,000 credits?
Ventress asked. Lot's eyes grew large as saucers, and Bosk's jaw closed in astonishment. Boba looked at Ventress evenly.
No, not even 200,000 credits.
Ventress had underestimated how badly she had wounded the boy's pride. It was proving to be an expensive mistake.
250.
That got him. Boba's mouth hung open for 3 full seconds before he closed it. Lots and Bosk glanced at each other, and then, in perfect step, they moved forward.
We'll take the job,
Bosk said.
Absolutely,
Lots agreed immediately. Boba stared at them.
But you don't even know what it is.
Lots shrugged.
For 250,000 credits? I don't care.
Boba looked at Ventress, then at his bounty hunters. He threw up his hands in surrender.
Fine.
He sank back sullenly.
But the syndicate gets its cut. You guys have fun.
Fett took another long pull at his drink. He looked profoundly irritated with all of them.
No deal,
Ventress said bluntly.
I want the whole team.
She counted them out on her fingers.
Bosk, Lots, Heisinger, Embo, and Boba Fett.
Boba narrowed his eyes. He looked at her in silence for a long moment. Then he leaned back and asked,
What's the job?
Ventress had planned out exactly what she was going to say.
A rescue mission. One man on Sereno. We get in, we get out, you get paid.
Boba considered.
You know the layout of where we're going? The defenses? The weak points? As if I lived there,
she replied smoothly. Boba suddenly slammed down his drink and leaned into her.
It can't be that easy. There's more to this than you're saying. I know it.
Ventress knew something, too. How to play Fett.
There are always variables. Any experienced hunter knows that.
She put exactly the right amount of inflection into the word. And sure enough, Boba fairly bristled at the implied slight. He grabbed his helmet, having obviously had enough of the conversation.
We get paid up front or no deal. Transfer the credits today.
Ventress inclined her head. She'd been expecting this demand, just as she'd expected to have to up her initial offer. The sum represented almost everything she had saved up during her time as a bounty hunter. But if they could do it, if they could get Voss out of that hellhole where Dooku was doubtless torturing him, Ventress wouldn't care if she earned another credit as long as she lived. Lots and Bosk looked like children who'd just been given presents.
Yes!
Hissed Bosk gleefully. Lots, grinning from ear to ear, playfully punched his breastplate in a show of solidarity. Boba still looked as if he had taken a bite of something particularly nasty.
Go get Heisinger and Embo ready. We'll run through the basic layout of the mission in 1 hour.
They nodded and practically skipped off. He watched them go, then turned back to Ventress.
For the record.
Ventress looked up to find his blaster 3 centimeters from her face. This she hadn't expected.
I know you're going to betray us at some point. They might not see it, but I do.
She gazed at him evenly, hiding her surprise.
And also, just for the record,
he continued pleasantly,
I'm not the kid you left behind on Quarzite. You double-cross me again. You'll pay for it.
He twirled the blaster around his finger before holstering it, then shoved his helm on his head and followed Bossk and Lotz.
Chapter 23. More time passed. More torture. More screams. More nightmares in the few moments when Voss passed out long enough to have them. He dreamed of darkness and blood, of fear, of danger known, which was bad, and danger imagined, which was worse. The worst dreams of all were of Ventress. Sometimes she was his torturer, sneering as she blasted him with force lightning, reveling in his pain. She told him that everything she had said, everything they had shared together, was a lie, and reveled in the fact that this hurt him far more than physical pain. But the dreams Voss dreaded even more than those were the ones where he held Ventress in his arms. When she told him she loved him, and he knew it to be true, his senses had grown dull. He had no taste or hunger for food. No sensitivity to anything but the agony of the various methods the droid used to inflame his nerves or lacerate and then heal his body. Voss alternated between numb and sluggish and excruciatingly alive with torment. He ate only because some part of him knew he needed to keep up what little strength he had left. He, Dooku, and the droid had been performing this dance for enough time that Voss's muscles were beginning to weaken, except for those that screamed constantly from being placed in positions they were never designed to execute. The dreams this time had been particularly bad, so when the droid came to awaken him, Voss actually welcomed it. He was surprised when the droid deactivated the force field that had held him suspended by his arms. Unable to catch himself, he fell awkwardly as he dropped a meter to the floor. Stiff from lack of movement for so very long, his shoulders and arms were on fire, and Voss bit back a scream. It felt like the snake venom that had coursed through his system on Dathomir, which led back to thoughts of Ventress.
"Get up,"
the droid ordered. When Voss failed to comply, the droid signaled. Two battle droids appeared and snapped to attention. The torture droid deactivated the force field, and the battle droid stepped inside. They wrenched Voss's arms behind his back and snapped on a pair of binders. Then each took one of his arms. As they dragged him out of the cell, the agony in his arms increased a thousandfold, and once again, blackness descended. Voss came to when he was tossed to the ground. He lay there for a moment, then became aware of the smells. Roasted meats, the tang of freshly cut fruits, the sweet fragrance of just-baked pastries. Real food, not the tasteless stuff he had been forced to consume. Moisture flooded his mouth, and for the first time since the hideous ordeal began, his stomach rumbled. Slowly hissing, he pushed himself up to a kneeling position and took in his surroundings. The room was large and lavish. Fine art from a variety of worlds hung on the walls. The carpeting beneath Voss was thick and comfortable. Soft music came from somewhere, and a large, ornately carved cabinet hung on the wall. All these things Voss noticed only fleetingly. His eyes were riveted on the display before him, which was both inviting and obscene. There were quite literally dozens of foodstuffs on a dining table that could easily have seated 16. And at the head of it, pouring effervescent wine into a fluted glass, sat Count Dooku. He lifted the glass in a toast to Voss.
"Welcome,"
he said, and drank. This was perhaps the worst torture yet, but Voss steeled himself. If Dooku thought to see him beg for table scraps, the Count would be sorely disappointed. Voss swallowed so he could speak.
"Well, look at you and your pampered life."
His voice dripped contempt.
Your servants, your feast, your palace must have been so easy for you to turn your back on the Jedi Order.
Dooku cut another bite from the thick, rare steak and lifted it to his mouth. Juices dripped onto the plate. He chewed with obvious enjoyment, dabbed at his lips with the napkin, and then replied,
"Yes,"
he agreed.
"I live a privileged existence now, but like you, Voss, I too was taken from my home as an infant and raised in the Jedi Temple. It was only later in my life that I discovered my true heritage, a legacy of power and pedigree that was far too intimidating for the Council to accept."
A plate was set at the far end of the table. Food was within easy reach of it, and the flute of wine had been filled. Clearly, Voss would be welcome to dine with the Count, if he requested it. Voss tried to decide which was the smarter course of action. Refusing to give Dooku the satisfaction of eating, or taking the chance to consume some real food that would increase his strength.
"Pedigree," he scoffed. "Like an animal. You could have done so much, helped so many people. Instead, you use that legacy to spread your evil throughout the galaxy."
The fragrance of the freshly baked bread in front of him almost broke him. Dooku rose from his seat, setting down his napkin and picking up his glass of wine. He walked to the entrance of a large, open balcony and pulled back the gently billowing curtains. For the first time since he had been taken, Voss had a sense of time. It was night, here on whatever world he was on, and the stars glittered serenely, teasing him with a freedom he didn't have.
"Evil? What a childish notion. Unworthy of you, Voss. Today's lesson begins with this."
He turned and regarded Voss, the glass still in hand.
"There is no good or evil. Only those with power and those without it."
Voss grunted in disgust. He had decided against eating. If he started, he wasn't sure he could stop. And he refused to let Dooku see just how famished he was.
"Your master Thoum understood this."
Dooku tossed out this verbal grenade with utter casualness.
For a moment, a sheet of red darkened Voss's vision, and he was so outraged he couldn't breathe. "How dare you speak his name? You murdered him!"
Dooku looked convincingly surprised, and then almost sad.
"Ah, so that's what she said. Given your, relationship with Ventress, I wondered if you knew the truth. It was she who killed your master, not I."
"You lie!"
shouted Voss, trying to rise. The droid shoved him back down.
"No, Quinlan. I don't have to lie."
Dooku shook his head. He stepped into the hall and motioned. A moment later, a squat technical droid rolled into the room. Dooku went to it and tapped a few controls as he spoke.
"One of the many advantages of having a droid army in the field is the ability to study the battle recording. Win or lose, I always find the holorecord illuminating."
A final tap, and Dooku straightened. The droid chirped and then began to project the scene of a battle on a planet Voss couldn't identify. He could make out the figures of what seemed like countless battle droids locked in combat with hundreds of clones. A major conflict, then. Voss's throat tightened, dreading what he would see.
"Magnify,"
ordered Dooku. The hologram shifted, then narrowed its focus to a handful of combatants. One of them was Master Tholme. Despite himself, Voss gasped slightly. He was surprised at how painful it was to behold an image of his master. Tholme's gray-streaked black hair was held back in a long ponytail. He stood his ground, his lightsaber green as Voss's own. A blur as he shouted out orders and cut down battle droids. Suddenly,
there came two flashes of red. A woman, bald, pale as the stars, clad in black leather and expertly wielding twin lightsabers, appeared. Asajj Ventress. The Jedi and the Sith engaged in a heated fight. Ventress's lightsabers had unusually curved hilts, so that she needed to wield them in a slightly different manner from the standard straight lightsabers. Voss watched, forgetting to breathe, horrified but unable to tear his gaze away from the brutal spectacle. Then, so swiftly Voss couldn't even see what happened, Ventress had gotten the upper hand. Tholm's lightsaber went flying. Ventress pointed both her weapons at Tholm. He raised his hands and knelt before her, surrendering. Ventress ran him through. One glowing blade pierced Tholm's heart. The other gutted him. Voss's beloved master fell to the ground.
"Freeze,"
came Dooku's voice, as if from far away. Voss's blood thundered in his ears. He stared at the miniature Tholm, dead, and at the tiny Ventress, standing before the treacherously slain Jedi, and grinning in triumph.
"Ventress was a fair apprentice," Dooku continued. "However, as she became more powerful, her lust for bloodshed could not be sated. She grew ever more violent and unpredictable."
Voss stared, his gaze roving the face he had caressed, the lips he had kissed.
"She slaughtered Master Tholm against my orders. We had the battle won. There was no reason to justify the death of an old friend."
Dooku's voice, bizarrely, was kind, like that of a father comforting a devastated son.
"But why would she do this? Keep this from me."
Voss's voice sounded shattered, even to him.
"Ventress has a hunger for power. That is what she truly desires, and she will do anything, lie to anyone, to get what she wants."
Dazed, Voss shook his head. His whole body ached from the motion.
"No, no, not to me."
Dooku stepped closer, staring down at Voss.
"Especially to you. I know. You thought you knew her, as I did. You thought she cared for you. But she was doing nothing but spinning a web of lies. Lies that I can free you from, as I freed myself."
Voss didn't answer. His gaze was fixed on the droid that had shown him such a horrible truth. Or had it? He blinked. There was something about Dooku and recordings. What was it? And then he remembered. Now Voss stared up at the Count, his mind clear and focused once again, his voice strong. "You falsified this recording," Voss snarled. "You erased yourself and put Ventress in your place. It's easy to do. You've tried to fool the Jedi with this trick before."
Dooku looked at him sadly.
"You grasp at straws, Voss. I understand why. It is a hard thing to accept that the world you thought you knew was not the truth. It is difficult to step away from everything, to let go. But do it, Voss. Come away from that false world. Join me."
"I will never join you!"
Dooku turned away, pacing, now and then glancing back at Voss as if trying to make up his mind about something.
"I think I must show you the cabinet after all,"
he said.
"Truly, I would have spared you this if I could have. Remember that I did try."
"The cabinet?" Voss repeated. "What's that? Some fun new style of torture?"
"That all depends on you, Quinlan. It will truly be in your own hands."
"I think I'd like to go back to my prison cell. I prefer straightforward torment to this preposterous game you're playing. You won't break me, Dooku."
You know, I believe I won't,
agreed the Count, surprising Voss.
But you will break all the same, and it will be your choice to do so.
Dooku walked toward the end of the room and stood before the cabinet. Voss tensed, not knowing what new horror Dooku would subject him to this time.
Your proof is in here,
Dooku said.
You think if your little hollow show didn't convince me, something else will?
Voss sneered.
I do,
the Count replied with complete confidence. A chill shivered through Voss. Dooku seemed so certain. Voss felt sweat break out on his forehead and beneath his arms. What the hell was in that deceptively ordinary-looking cabinet? With one final, almost regretful glance at Voss, Dooku opened the cabinet's double doors. Mounted with great care, resplendent against a padded background of blue velvet, hung at least 20 lightsabers. A portion of the case was bare. Dooku had left room for the collection to expand. Voss swallowed hard, fighting nausea, unable to tear his eyes away.
Whenever Grievous or Ventress cut down a Jedi, they brought me these little souvenirs of the battle,
Dooku said in a casual tone.
They make for quite the handsome display, don't you think?
I remember that battle.
You were there?
No. Dooku bragged about it to me. It was he who killed your master. He even kept Tholm's lightsaber as a trophy.
Blood thundered in Voss's ears. The hilts were crafted of metal or wood or even gems, each as unique as the Jedi who had made it. With a soft sound, Voss closed his eyes and turned his head.
Make him look,
Dooku ordered sharply, and there was steel in his voice. A battle droid dug its metal fingers into Voss's hair and yanked his head back.
I believe in the old adage, know your enemy. I've spent a considerable amount of time studying the Jedi Masters. I know their strengths, their weaknesses, and their unique skills. For instance, I know that you, Quinlan Voss, have the rare gift of psychometry.
With a sickening realization, Voss suddenly knew what Dooku was about to do.
Free his hands,
Dooku said to the droids. Voss stayed completely still as the droids obeyed their master. He flexed his wrists, ignoring the sensation of numb limbs tingling to life, and got to his feet, stumbling awkwardly.
I'm certain you'll want to determine the truth in a way it is impossible for you to deny.
A thought seemed to occur to him.
Although, I imagine it will be more than a trifle unpleasant. Isn't it true that in addition to seeing and hearing things regarding the object you touch, you will also experience what its owner felt?
Count Dooku smiled and held out Tholm's lightsaber. For a long moment, Voss simply stared at the weapon. Then, uttering a wordless cry, he launched himself at Dooku. The Count did not appear to have been expecting this, and Voss was able to wrap his hands around the other man's neck and squeeze, using the force to increase the pressure. But even so, he was much weaker than the Count, and Dooku broke the chokehold and sent force lightning through Voss's body. While Voss writhed on the floor, Dooku got to his feet and ordered the droids.
Take him back to the cell, but do not restrain him. And,
he added, handing one of them Tholm's weapon,
take this with you.
The droids each took one of Voss's arms and hauled him up. Panting, Voss lifted his head.
You can make me touch it, Voss gasped. But you can't force me to read it.
I know, Dooku said mildly. But you will, Voss. Eventually, you will.
Chapter 24.
Ventress felt a mingled stab of worry and nostalgia as Slave One landed at Sereno Spaceport. Her most recent visits to this world had been her two failed assassination attempts. Now she couldn't care less about Dooku. Her hatred and burning desire for revenge was easily put aside for something so much more important. Funny how one's priorities could shift so completely in the most unexpected of ways.
Her boots clanked on the metal of the ramp as she, Lots, Bosk, Highsinger, and Boba descended. Embo disembarked from his own saucer-shaped guillotine, but not alone. His Anuba, Marok, trotting down the ramp from his own private entrance, fell into step with his master. Ventress had worked with all of them but Embo. He was a Cayuso, swift and agile. He had one of the more interesting tools she'd run across, a hat that did triple duty as accessory, shield, and weapon. C-21 Highsinger, as far as she knew, was that rare thing, a unique droid. The spires of Dooku's fortress towered, catching the morning sunlight. They were beautiful, elegant, and refined. The place looked both too lyrical to be a prison where unspeakable torment was performed, and too beautiful to be the home of such a wretched creature as Dooku.
"We're coming, Voss."
Ventress pointed at it, her body as calm and poised as her thoughts and emotions were roiling.
"There's the palace."
"And you're certain this Count Dooku won't be there?"
Lots pressed. Ventress gave the younger woman a scornful glance. Lying smoothly, she replied,
"He has an entire war to manage. He's got greater things to worry about and better places to be."
Fett gnawed his lower lip, gazing at the spires.
"I don't like it. What did your friend do to get himself imprisoned by a man like Dooku, anyway?"
She'd known the question would be asked, and replied with the simple truth.
"Honestly, he tried to kill him."
Lots whistled. The bounty hunters, all with raised eyebrows, looked at one another. Clearly, they were kicking themselves for not asking this question sooner.
"Unbelievable," said Fett. "So this is why you agreed to pay us in advance."
Ventress planted her hands on her hips.
"Look, the plan is simple. You're running a distraction. That's it. I'll do the hard part and break into the prison. Just hold the guards' attention. Think you can manage that?"
Boba bristled.
"Easily,"
Bosk said.
"They're most likely just droids."
"Droids!"
protested Highsinger. Bosk ducked his scaly green head.
"Sorry, pal. No offense."
Highsinger was obviously not entirely mollified.
"Try to make it look like you're stealing a starship,"
Ventress said.
"We don't want to tip our hand that this is a rescue attempt."
Lots laughed.
"Why stop at the look-like part? Let's just steal the thing."
"Yep. Bonus,"
Bosk agreed. At Ventress's expression, Fett laughed out loud.
"Don't forget, you asked for our help."
"I'm having second thoughts,"
she murmured, as they set off for the palace. Ventress had lived here long enough to know how Dooku liked things to run. She remembered exactly where and at what time supplies were delivered to the palace. Tucked away out of sight behind the opulence of the palace's imposing entrance was a delivery area where encroaching trees had been cleared away so that shuttles could land. It would be easy to ambush the droids tasked with offloading the supplies. The trees, not far from the landing area, offered plenty of cover. It was so obvious that for a brief moment, Ventress wondered why an attack such as the one they were planning had not been attempted before. Then she realized that any sane person would balk at simply walking up to Dooku's battle droid protected palace, rear entry though it might be. She checked her chrono.
"Any minute now,"
she told her companions.
"How many shuttles will there be?"
asked Lots. Ventress shrugged her thin shoulders.
"It depends on the size of the delivery. There's room for anywhere from 1 to 5 to land in this area."
Great, muttered Lotz.
Quiet,
Fett said. They waited. Within 5 minutes, they could all hear the sound of approaching ships.
Ventress listened closely. More than one, certainly. Perhaps three. Not as bad as it could be, but it would certainly present Fett's team with a challenge. They waited for the signal from Boba.
The young bounty hunter leaned against a tree trunk, his face hidden by his helmet. One of the shuttles settled down, followed by two others.
Boba slowly raised his hand, and when the first shuttle extended a ramp and two battle droids trundled out carrying a large box between them,
Boba gave the signal for his team to move forward.
Carefully, quietly, they each took their position.
Ventress had never felt more alive.
Her body was calm, under her absolute control, and her focus was laser sharp. The killing machine she could become when needed was fueled now by the heat of her anger toward Dooku. And another warm emotion she was too afraid to name. She would get Voss out. She refused to even consider any other outcome.
A disc-shaped metal object came out of nowhere and clipped one of the battle droids in the head. It stumbled and fell, its head smashed beyond repair.
Hey!
Its partner objected, turning to see who had thrown the projectile. The droid was cleanly decapitated by the disc as it circled back toward its owner, and its head toppled off its shoulders. Embo extended a hand and snatched his flat, broad-brimmed hat.
Mr. Balotelli,
he said smugly. Lotz Razi had positioned herself near the second ship. As the droids emerged, she quickly cracked her grappling boa. In her expert hands, the boa coiled around a hapless, squeaking droid like the snake for which it was named. In a series of moves that looked more like a dance than a fight, Lotz snared one, whipped it around her, and deposited it at the feet of Highsinger. The bounty hunter cheerfully crushed the enemy droid beneath his metal feet. The air was filled with multicolored bolts. Fett took out a pair of other droids, while Bossk scrambled atop one of the shuttles. He fired a repeating blaster, laughing gleefully as he mowed down battle droids and finally targeted one of the shuttles. It exploded in a very satisfactory manner, leaping flames and oily tendrils of black smoke climbing into the air. Even the battle droids would notice that, Ventress thought. And sure enough, at least a dozen of them scurried out of the entrance to the palace's lower levels.
It's clear, Ventress called to Fett. I'm going in.
We'll hold the droids here,
Fett shouted back.
But you've only got 15 minutes, understand?
I'll be quick,
Ventress said. She sprinted for the open doors.
15 minutes!
Fett yelled after her.
Silently, swiftly, Ventress hastened through the dimly lit hallways. Here, deep inside the well-fortified heart of Dooku's palace, was where the Count kept his prisoners. She remembered precisely where the cells were, and what went on inside them. There had been a time when she herself had participated in interrogations that were, in the end, merely an excuse to inflict pain. No one was ever released, whether or not they provided useful information. She could only hope that Voss was still alive. The sound of metallic feet marching reached her ears. Ventress leapt straight up. Using the shadows in the corners as cover, she found hand and footholds and waited. Six armed droids hurried through the corridor, doubtless alerted to the ruckus outside. Ventress dropped directly on top of one, ripped off its head, and flung it at one of its companions. Deftly, she executed a handspring and came up kicking out with both feet, using the force to empower the strike. The droid slammed into the walls and collapsed like puppets with their strings cut. Activating her lightsaber. No, Voss's lightsaber. Ventress turned to the remaining three. One had recovered enough to fire at her, but she batted back the bolts as she were swatting an annoying insect. In one smooth motion, she sprang, sliced, and three heads went rolling. Ventress dropped to a crouch, listened, and moved on.
Turning left at the next corridor junction, she raced down the long hall. At the end was a huge metal door, flanked by controls. This was the entry to the cell area. Ventress paused for a heartbeat to steady herself, then pushed the button. The door slid open, just as two droids turned the corner to enter the hallway.
"Hey," said one of them. "You're not supposed to..."
Ventress knocked one arrow, let it fly, and loosed a second. The droids didn't even have a chance to open fire. She pressed on. Two more droids approached, carrying battle staves. Ventress didn't even slow her pace, running straight toward them as they charged at her, brandishing and whirling their staves. At the last moment, she veered, ran up the wall, flipped in midair, and seized one of the staves. For a moment, Ventress balanced atop it with one hand, sizing up the droid's positions. Then she dropped with precise control, flipping so she held the weapon in both hands. The droid that was still armed began to attack. With a single quick motion, Ventress sent its stave flying and slammed her own, first into one droid, then the other. Pieces of them clanged to the ground. Ventress dropped the weapon and entered the cell section. The cells were all empty. Dooku must have finished with the prisoners he remembered and not replenished his stock.
Except for Voss.
She ran down the hallways, glancing left and right into each cell. Rounding the corner, he knelt, his back to her. His back was bowed, and his body shook, as if with sobs.
"Voss!"
Ventress cried brokenly, slamming the controls with her palm and deactivating the force field. He froze, but didn't turn around. A lump rose in her throat. Slowly, Ventress stepped forward, reaching out to touch his shoulder.
"It's me, Voss. I came back for..."
Still without turning, Voss lifted a hand and clenched his fist. Ventress shot into the air. Invisible fingers strangled her. Blood pounded in her ears as she clawed futilely at her throat, struggling to force words out.
"Quinlan! No!"
"You are a liar and a murderer!" Chapter 25.
Ventress had feared for his life, but now a fresh terror surged through her. Voss knew the truth. Dooku had revealed it to him. She had vowed to tell him herself when this was all over, but for Voss to have heard it from Dooku...
"Quinlan!"
Ventress rasped. Her vision was starting to go dark around the edges.
"Listen to me!"
"Shut up!"
Now Voss rose, his back still toward her. Every line of his body was taut with tension.
"I am done with listening to your lies."
"I warned about this."
A moment longer and she would black out. If he didn't crush her windpipe first. Ventress struggled to get the words out while she still could.
"You need to tap into the darkness, but not let it consume you."
"Like you let it consume you? When you killed my master?"
Voss flung her away from him, hard. She slammed into the stone floor and slid, coughing and gasping for breath. As quickly as she could, Ventress got to her feet, and her heart shattered inside her chest. Voss's eyes were no longer a warm, rich brown. They were a blood-rimmed shade of yellow.
"I trusted you."
His voice shook as he raged.
"I believed you! And everything you said, everything you promised me, everything I thought I meant to you and believed we could have together, it was all a lie!"
"No!"
The word was almost a sob.
"I..."
Voss extended a hand. Across his palm lay a lightsaber hilt. Ventress recognized it. Despair and horror filled her as she realized what it meant, both for herself and for him. Voss now knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Ventress had coldly executed his master.
But Dooku hadn't told him. The Count, in the depths of his cruelty, had made Voss find it out for himself. Voss had told her how his psychometry affected him. He received input from sight, sound, and emotions. The Order did not approve of Jedi using such a skill to handle weapons of violence, as the wielder's feelings could be sensed, and those emotions could lay a Jedi bare to the power of the dark side.
"Oh, Quinlan,"
she said brokenly, aching with compassion. "Don't you dare lie to me now, Asajj Ventress," Voss snarled. She looked up at his Sith yellow eyes again, and this time she saw tears on his cheek. Impulsively, she reached out to him, stepping forward. With a snap hiss, Tholme's lightsaber sprang to life, and Voss charged. Ventress was barely able to activate her own lightsaber and bring it up in time to prevent him from slicing her head off. Faster than she had ever seen him move before, even when she had pressed him on Dathomir, Voss twisted, and her blade slid off his. He rained blow after blow, his teeth bared in a snarl, forcing Ventress back down the corridor. Voss had been a Jedi Master, and while she had defeated such before, the battle was never easily won. Now those skills were augmented by a dark side that had greedily feasted on his pain and rage. It seemed to her that his blows were effortless, and he did not tire. Ventress had to reach him, somehow. Voss was drunk with this new power, unfettered as she was by the thought of striking a lethal blow. While she was only attempting to either knock him out or seize his lightsaber, he wanted her dead.
"You used me!"
he shrieked. Left, right, left he struck, and she parried, feeling the jarring up her arm. Their blades sizzled, the two green blades striking sparks off each other.
"You came to me," Ventress reminded him. "You asked for my help, the Council!"
Voss bellowed, springing back and shoving hard with his left hand. Ventress was hurled backward, slamming into the unforgiving stone wall.
"They all warned me you were out for yourself. And you were! You didn't care about me at all!"
Her head was ringing, but Ventress got to her feet. She leapt toward Voss, landing behind him and kicking at the back of his knee. He hadn't been expecting it and stumbled. She seized the arm that held the lightsaber and yanked it back, trying to force him to drop it.
"If that were true," Ventress said, pleading, "if I didn't care, then why am I here? Why did I risk my life to come back for you?"
For a moment, a faint shadow of doubt flickered across his features, and he ceased struggling. Then, his face grew hard.
"Because you needed me. You hated Dooku, and when I came along, you took advantage of it. You couldn't do it alone, but with me, you might have managed to kill your hated master. I was never anything to you but a means to an end."
The bitterness in his voice stabbed like a dagger, her own eyes stung with tears. And in that moment, Ventress hated the dark side for what it and Dooku's torture had done to this man.
"Voss, you were everything. This is the pain and the dark side speaking. This isn't who you are."
With a roar, Voss lunged forward, hurling Ventress over his head. He wrenched his arm free and whipped his lightsaber around. The tip grazed Ventress's midsection as she tried to roll away, and she cried out in pain.
"It is who I am. It's who I want to be. You gave me this cup, Ventress. You made me drink from it."
It was the truth. She had pushed him in the caverns. She had forced him to kill the sleeper in cold blood. And it seemed he had learned that lesson all too well.
"But you can control it. You're strong, Voss. Stronger than it is. Don't let it win. Let's leave everything. Dooku, the Jedi, everything. We can go away together. Just like we planned.
Just you and me.
Run away with someone who lied to me.
The words were harsh, but Voss wasn't fighting, wasn't charging her. Even so, he held his lightsaber ready as he asked,
Why did you do it?
Hope, nearly burned to ashes, surged within her at the anguish in his tone. For this moment, there was more pain than rage in him, and the pain might just listen to her. Slowly, Ventress lowered her weapon. She was ready to defend herself, but Voss didn't move to attack. She licked her lips, took a deep breath, and spoke.
I did lie to you. And I lied to you because I was afraid.
His eyes narrowed.
You've never been afraid of anything, Asajj Ventress.
She shook her head.
You're wrong. I was terrified.
Of what?
Voss scoffed.
Of losing you.
She let the words hang there for a moment. And when Voss still appeared to be listening, she continued.
I've been lying for so long. It's second nature to me. We learned to trust each other. But what I felt, I was so scared. I was afraid to tell you about Tholme because I thought you'd hate me. I'd only just learned how to trust and care about someone again. And I couldn't bear the thought that if you really knew me, knew what I had done, you'd despise me.
Her voice broke. Voss's body posture eased. His eyes were glued to her face.
You should have trusted me, he said softly.
Ventress nodded.
You're right. I should have. And even if you had left me, I'd have done the right thing. But I was too afraid. I was wrong. I am so very, very sorry.
Tears stung her eyes. Ventress let them fall. She had not wept since the slaughter of her sisters, and even then she had grieved in solitude. Never had Ventress spoken so to another living being, not even her beloved Jedi Master. She stood, her heart wide open, her soul naked before him. Surely he would see it, even through the darkness that clouded his mind. Surely he would understand what this meant. Quinlan Voss knew her in a way no one else ever had. He would see and understand. The yellow hue faded from his eyes, and he blinked.
Asajj,
he whispered.
I brought your lightsaber back to you,
she said.
Yours. I kept it safe for you, just like I did on Dathomir. Don't let Dooku use Tholme to divide us. I wish I could, but I can't change the past. I just want a future with you.
It was the wrong thing to say. Voss looked down at the blade he held, and his beloved face turned ugly with hatred. The awful yellow hue returned to his eyes as he looked back up at her.
That, Voss growled, is the worst lie of all.
Shattered, Ventress rolled out of the way as he leapt at her, bringing up her blades in a frantic parry as he forced her around the corner. She called his name again and again, but Voss was now deaf to any plea she might utter. Ventress realized that he would not stop until he had killed her, and for one brief moment, she wanted him to. It would be easier than living without him, knowing that this was where she had unwittingly led him. No, she would not give up. She would not let Dooku and the dark side have him. With his fury-fueled attacks, Voss forced her to retreat back toward the exit, and Ventress let him do so. She understood now that he was too far gone to be talked into accompanying her willingly. But if she could bring the fight back out into the open, she might be able to maneuver him toward Fett and the others. The aid of even one of the bounty hunters might be enough to subdue Voss and drag him onto one of the ships. Even though she retreated deliberately, Voss's attack demanded every bit of her focus.
He seemed to grow stronger, his attacks more powerful, while Ventress had to draw on everything she had simply to stay alive. Voss barely even seemed to need to breathe, and he threw everything he had at the woman that, Ventress knew in her heart, he had once cared for so deeply. As they turned another corner, Ventress nearly stumbled over the debris of a battle droid she had torn apart but a few moments before. Voss shot out a hand. Several pieces of broken metal rose in the air. Grunting, Voss gestured, and they all launched themselves at Ventress. She sliced the torso in half with her lightsaber, used the force to deflect various limbs, and dived out of the path of two severed heads. Ventress landed on her feet and immediately brought up her weapon to deflect the blur of Tholm's lightsaber. She used the force to shove it and Voss back and kept retreating. It seemed like an eternity before Ventress saw that the dimness of the corridors was growing brighter. Hope surged in her as she realized that they were close to the exit. The emotion made her careless. She found herself suddenly lifted and flung backward out the door. Ventress sailed through the air for several meters, landing hard and awkwardly, and for a wild moment was unable to rise. Then, someone grabbed her arm and hauled her to her feet.
"Where's your friend?"
Fett demanded. Ventress turned back to the doorway. Quinlan Voss stood there, his cruel face illuminated by the glow of a dead man's lightsaber. Behind him followed a host of battle droids. Ventress pointed at Voss. "There," she said brokenly.
"That's your friend?"
Suddenly, Voss's head whipped to the side. Following his gaze, Ventress saw something thoroughly unexpected. Count Dooku, trapped in some sort of webbing, lying on the ground with Bossk's blaster aimed at his head. Voss threw Ventress one final hate-filled glance, then turned and raced to Dooku. The droids followed Voss obediently, firing at the bounty hunters.
"Go!"
Fett shouted, gesticulating toward one of the shuttles. They needed no second urging. Bossk turned his head as he ran, snapping at Dooku over his shoulder in frustration, but followed Embo, Heisinger, and Lots up the ramp of the nearest shuttle. Embo motioned to Fett and Ventress to hurry up.
"Come on, No Name!"
I can't leave!"
Her gaze was riveted on Voss, who had freed Dooku from the netting and was now helping him up. He glanced up, perhaps feeling her gaze, and said something to Dooku. They stood side by side, a team, a master and an apprentice. The sight was so devastating that Ventress barely registered that six battle droids were now racing toward them. Voss smiled.
"We have to go!"
Boba yelled. He seized her hand and started running, dragging Ventress along with him. Together they raced up the ramp, which started to close the second they set foot on it. The shuttle had already lifted off as Ventress and Fett flung themselves inside. Ventress went to the viewport, hoping against hope to see some signal from Voss that told her that he was only pretending, that this was all some kind of bizarre act. All she saw was the two former Jedi Masters, once so different, but now united by the darkness, staring impassively up at the departing ship. Ventress looked away, no longer able to bear the sight. Her gaze fell on Fett, who removed his helmet and dragged a hand across his sweating face.
"You could have left me behind," she said quietly.
He nodded.
"Yeah, I could have. But I'm not you."
The words cut Ventress in ways Fett couldn't even imagine. It was an hour and 47 minutes past the appointed meeting time. Obi-Wan Kenobi did not truly expect to see Quinlan Voss, but he held to the ritual of showing up, hoping against hope that this time, for this meeting, Voss would be there. Each time, Kenobi was forced to depart alone, and that flicker of hope grew dimmer. He debated leaving early, but he was too stubborn. Kenobi would give his old friend the courtesy of waiting the 2 hours he always had
before giving up and returning to the temple. The server droid zipped up to him and put another bottle on the table. She gave him a metal-lidded wink.
You're becoming quite a regular.
Kenobi gave her a wan smile, and as she rolled away, he pulled his nondescript, ragged hood farther over his face. A shadow fell over the table, and he looked up, smiling with relief. But the words of greeting died on his lips. Before him stood Asajj Ventress, but not the Ventress with whom he had crossed lightsabers on so many occasions. She now had short, pale blonde hair, and she looked like she had aged 10 years. Her ice-blue eyes were bloodshot, and there were deep circles under them. She had changed more than physically. Emanating from her was a bleak resignation that failed to entirely mask a deep-set ache. Apprehension rose in Kenobi, but not for anything he thought she would do. He suddenly, desperately hoped she would not speak. For a long moment, Ventress was indeed silent, her gaze lowered. Then she took a long, shuddering breath and lifted her eyes to his. When she spoke, it was in the same husky voice he remembered, but it was not filled with fury or cruel amusement. It was the voice of someone adrift and bereft.
He's not coming back. He belongs to Dooku now.
Kenobi's eyes widened.
No,
he thought. Not him. Not the ebullient, eternally playful Quinlan. No. Wordlessly, he reached for the second cup he always ordered, hoping Voss would show up to drink from it. Now Kenobi filled it and slid it across the table. Ventress stared at it, then at him, and finally eased herself into the chair slowly, as if even simple movement hurt. She took a slow sip. They sat there together for a long time.
Chapter 26. Asajj Ventress had spent a lifetime living in the moment. She was a woman who had no patience for regrets or what-ifs. She moved resolutely in a single direction, forward. Except now. Now her dreams were filled with the images of Quinlan Voss, with yellow eyes. Quinlan Voss, wordlessly pleading as she watched him be... let him be dragged away in torment by two of Dooku's battle droids. Could she have pressed the attack and freed him then? Could she have acted more swiftly, said something to reach him? Regret, hitherto a stranger, now dogged her tracks as constantly as her own shadow. Though she had never been one who drank to get drunk, she discovered that drinking helped. She'd exhausted both her credits and any meager sense of goodwill she'd had with Fett and his syndicate on the rescue attempt that had gone so sickeningly wrong. Ventress took on jobs as they came her way, channeling the guilt and pain into action, unleashed on whatever hapless bounty she was after on any given day. Most of the credits were spent on alcohol. Sometimes, if she drank enough, she would have a dreamless sleep. Sometimes. Ventress lost count as the days merged into weeks, then months. She had a bad shock early on, when she was knocking back a fourth shot of something strong and green, and a holovid had come on with first Count Dooku's face, and then Quinlan's. They didn't know who he was, but the vidcasters referred to him as
this unknown new right hand of Count Dooku.
Ventress had managed to get out before snapping and destroying the holo emitter with her lightsaber. Quinlan's lightsaber. Since then, she'd avoided bars with holovids, but she couldn't escape the war entirely. Soon, Dooku's mystery man was Dooku's new admiral, complete with a colorful nickname already. Admiral Enigma. And people were gossiping about him as often as not. Ventress was dimly aware that at least one battle had been won by the former Jedi Master, but she left before the number of casualties had been revealed.
Sometimes, when she had been drinking extra heavily, Ventress grew paranoid. She became convinced that Voss was sending people after her to finish the job of executing the murderous woman who had so hatefully deceived him. Ventress would begin watching the shadows, and more than once she had inadvertently terrorized an innocent passerby. Tonight, Ventress hadn't been drinking hard. Well, not yet. And she was still getting the sensation that she was being watched. She frowned into her beverage, tossed some credits onto the bar, then looked around with feigned casualness. No one stood out particularly. Then again, if this being were good at his, her, its job, she wouldn't immediately notice. Ventress rose, taking care to wobble the precise amount that would suggest that she'd had a little too much to drink without overdoing it, and left the bar with an exaggeratedly careful stride. Days and nights down here on 1313 were dark, but there was always someone out on the streets. Most beings gave her a wide berth. As she stumbled down the alley behind the bar, dodging piles of refuse and snoring drunks, Ventress listened carefully. She heard nothing out of the ordinary, but she couldn't shake the feeling. She turned the corner, pressed herself into the side of the building, and waited. A few seconds later, a shape emerged. Ventress reached out in the force, seized her stalker, raised him up into the air, and slammed him down. An instant later, she had a knee on his chest, and the glow of the lightsaber a few centimeters from his throat revealed the large, startled eyes and furry muzzle of a Moran. He made no move to resist her.
"Give me one reason I shouldn't kill you," Ventress demanded. "We have a mutual friend," the Moran replied. "I don't have friends."
She brought the sizzling green blade closer, singeing the fur along his neck. He stayed motionless.
"I have a weapon at my waist. Take it."
Ventress reached with her free hand, still keeping the lightsaber a centimeter from his throat. Her hand closed on something cylindrical and made of cool metal, and her eyes widened as she looked at the lightsaber. Slowly, Ventress sat back, removing her weapon, but not extinguishing it. She kept his lightsaber.
"Start talking. They didn't tell me you were quite so fast," said the Moran, relief in his voice.
He sat up, slowly and carefully, lest she change her mind.
"I can be even faster. What do the Jedi want with me?"
she asked, adding bitterly,
"This time, my name is Desh, and the Jedi don't know I'm here. I'm... Quinlan Voss was one of my best friends."
Surprising how much hearing his name still hurt.
"Jedi aren't supposed to have best friends." "Since when was Voss a typical Jedi?" "You have a point. Go on."
Desh looked somber.
"We know about what happened. With Dooku. And with you. And what exactly do the Jedi think they know about me?" "Master Kenobi said he spoke with you. You came to him and told him what happened to Voss."
He was avoiding the question.
"Some of us wanted to go after him. We've been overruled, so far."
Now she understood.
"And you thought that if I were involved, I could help?"
Desh bared his teeth in what was clearly a sheepish grin rather than a threat, and scratched behind one vulpine ear.
Well, yes. I thought that if I could talk to you, I could, well..."
His large golden eyes met hers.
"Convince you to come back to the temple with me."
"Kenobi sent you?"
"Like I said, the Jedi don't know I'm here. But I'm willing to bet that if he did know, Master Kenobi would be glad. Sometimes it's better to ask forgiveness than permission."
"How do I know this isn't a trap?"
"You don't. And I won't force you to come with me. But if you walk away from this,
Voss won't stand a chance.
Ventress appraised him. Desh did seem like the sort of being that Voss would have gravitated toward. It wasn't anything she could put a name to, but she could picture them getting into scrapes together. She reached into the Force and sensed from the Moran only genuine concern. She thought back on the existence she'd led for the last few months, and her stomach soured. If there was even a chance the Jedi were indeed willing to help. Ventress stood.
What are you waiting for? Let's go.
Ventress, Desh, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and a clearly unhappy Anakin Skywalker entered the council chambers just in time for bad news. The council members were watching a holofeed of a terrible battle. Republic and Separatist fighters and attack cruisers were engaged in combat. As Kenobi watched, a dreadnought came into view, targeting a cruiser. The Republic vessel cracked in half under the onslaught. Fire, fed by the ship's own supply of oxygen, roiled upward. Yoda eyed Ventress with mild surprise and pressed a button, pausing the holo. Others reacted in a much more vigorous manner. Mace Windu got to his feet, one hand going to his lightsaber. Ki-Adi Mundi, Shaak-Ti, and Plo Koon, also present, did the same.
Asajj Ventress? Windu snapped. Thank you for making the job of arresting you so much easier.
Ventress threw Kenobi a shocked and furious glance. Kenobi lifted a hand.
No, Master Windu, he said calmly. Ventress came here in good faith, and of her own free will, to offer what help she could. I've given her my word that she would come to no harm within the temple walls, and I will keep that promise.
Everyone turned to Yoda. The ancient Jedi Master regarded Ventress steadily, assessing her. Ventress straightened and did not shirk the scrutiny. Kenobi recalled that the last time the two had met, Ventress had used lies and deception in an attempt to kill Yoda. But the head of the council was his usual calm self. Finally, he nodded.
Asajj Ventress,
he greeted her.
A liar of Master Kenobi we will not make. Grateful we are for your help. Questions for you we have.
Get on with it,
Ventress replied, crossing her arms.
You will speak to Master Yoda with respect, Windu said.
I will speak my truth however I please.
If it is indeed truth, said Plo Koon.
Please, masters, said Kenobi. Let's just get to the business at hand, shall we?
Fine, Windu said. You and Boss were close, weren't you?
You could say that,
Ventress said, her expression revealing nothing.
We were working well as a team.
So it was a professional relationship then? Asked Kenobi.
Ventress rolled her eyes.
Just spit it out, Kenobi.
He took a deep breath.
Very well. Did you become lovers?
She had to have been expecting this, but couldn't hide her reaction. A pained look flitted across her strong features, and her body hitched ever so slightly.
Yes,
she said quietly. Everyone exchanged glances. Kenobi had suspected as much. He felt a stab of pity for the woman standing before them. There had been a time when he would have rejected such a statement as a flat-out impossibility. But he knew she told the truth.
Did you teach Voss the ways of the Sith?
Asked Plo Koon. Ventress closed her eyes and inhaled deeply, pressing her lips into a thin line. Kenobi hoped she would deny it, but feared he knew better.
Not as such.
What is that supposed to mean? Anakin snapped.
Kenobi lifted his hand and Anakin fell silent.
Continue, you may,
Yoda said, not unkindly. Ventress spoke to Yoda directly.
Sometimes you must fight fire with fire. Voss wasn't ready to take on Dooku. Managed correctly,
The dark side would give him the edge, so that we could complete the mission. I know the danger of even the smallest misstep.
You tried to manage the dark side? Kenobi asked incredulously. Knowing the danger you were putting him in?
Ventress regarded him steadily, coldly.
It was a calculated risk.
But you pushed him, didn't you? Said Mace. You pushed him too far.
Her jaw tightened. When she spoke, her voice was icy with controlled anger.
I was trying to protect him in the only way I knew how.
By leading him by the hand straight into hell?
Ventress clenched her fists, clearly struggling not to leap at Windu. Equally clear to Obi-Wan was the fact that the Jedi Master might have welcomed the excuse to attack her. Ventress's breath came in quick, angry gasps as she spoke.
I will remind you all that it was you who assigned him this mission. It was you who led him to me. Everyone in this room knew who and what I was from the beginning, Windu. Don't fool yourself. The blame isn't mine alone to bear.
It was a brutal truth, but truth it was, nonetheless. And the Council knew it. An uncomfortable silence fell.
Care for him still, do you?
Asked Yoda gently. Ventress looked as though she sensed a trap, but knew better than to lie to so many Jedi Masters. She didn't look at anyone as she spoke.
Yes.
Enough to become Sith again yourself?
Kenobi asked the obvious question before Windu could. Ventress took a long time in replying. Finally, she lifted her head and looked at Yoda.
No.
Yoda nodded.
Further questions, has the Council?
No one spoke.
Jedi Knights Desh and Skywalker, outside with Ventress you await. Speak with the Council alone, I must.
Chapter 27
Ventress looked wary, but she accompanied Desh and Anakin outside into the corridor. When the doors closed, Yoda looked around at the Council.
Cooperative, has she been?
As much as someone like her can be, yes, Kenobi agreed.
Truth, has she spoken, within this chamber? Loves Vos still, she does. And lead us to him, she will.
And when we find him, what then?
Ki-Adi Mundi asked.
We have seen what Admiral Enigma has done already. If we do not successfully capture him, and he escapes, then we have turned another Sith Lord out into the galaxy.
If we can take him, we can turn him back, Kenobi said.
You cannot save everyone, Master Kenobi,
Plo Koon said, not without sympathy. Yoda nodded.
Save themselves, they must.
I understand that, Master Yoda, Kenobi said. But if given permission to mount a recovery, I will take responsibility for Vos myself. I was his supervisor for the original mission. I alone will see it through.
Even if we do manage to capture him successfully, how do we know we can trust him? He was introduced to the dark side by that woman, and is now Dooku's pet, Mace pointed out. Those roots go deep.
With respect, Master Windu, I believe that Ventress was right. We bear more than a little accountability for what has happened to Vos. He was raised in the temple, so there is no excuse for him not to be properly prepared to face this sort of challenge.
To which challenge do you refer, Master Kenobi? Mace inquired caustically. Dooku or Ventress?
Both, Kenobi said. Ventress is at fault, yes. And of course, Count Dooku. But this, Masters, this one is our responsibility. We owe Vos the chance to choose again, and with our help, wisely.
Then I believe that Ventress should not be part of the rescue mission, Mace asserted.
Yoda shook his head, looking pensive.
Key to this, she is. Need her, we will. Master Kenobi, permission you have to recover Quinlan Vos. But not alone will you be. Jedi Skywalker and Ventress both, you will take.
I do not understand, Master Yoda,
Windu said, his voice betraying his exasperation.
I yield to your wisdom, but I think we all must be aware of the disaster we are courting if we're wrong.
Believe me, Kenobi said, I am more than aware.
A small light built into the curve of Yoda's chair began to flash.
A message we have,
Yoda murmured, and pressed the button. A holographic image of Admiral Wolf Yularen appeared in the middle of the room.
Master Yoda,
he said in his clipped, elegant voice.
We have received new intel on Count Dooku and his Admiral Enigma.
Bring in Ventress,
Yoda snapped. Kenobi ushered Ventress, Anakin, and Desh into the chamber. Ventress started to object and jerk her arm away, but Kenobi hushed her with a gesture.
Proceed, Admiral,
Yoda said.
We have a sighting that places Enigma on a Providence-class dreadnought. We're currently investigating rumors that this ship is about to attack Taurus.
Ventress, said Kenobi, turning to her and smiling mildly. Are you up for a trip?
Ventress looked from Admiral Yularen to Yoda, and then back to Kenobi.
You've got to be joking.
You know as well as I do that there is still hope for him.
I don't know that,
she said bluntly. Kenobi was surprised.
Mace Windu frowned, leaning forward.
You weren't there. You didn't see his face. You don't know how hard it is to come back from.
You did it, Kenobi interrupted quietly. Ventress paused in mid-sentence, her eyes looking piercingly into his. He could sense how stunned she was by his recognition of what she had done. Some of the heat had gone from her voice as she replied.
Just barely.
But still, Kenobi pressed.
You understand what it takes. There may be a chance for him yet, but we have to stop him before he goes any farther down that path, or it might indeed be too late.
Ventress glanced around at the masters regarding her, her gaze lingering upon each one. Her chin lifted slightly at Windu's open disapproval.
I'll do it. But how do I know you won't arrest me upon our return?
Well,
Kenobi hedged.
A pardon, the Council will offer.
Everyone turned to look at the diminutive master. He was smiling gently, his eyes kind.
A clean slate Asajj Ventress shall have. If help us, she will.
Anakin shifted his weight.
That's quite the deal, Master Yoda, he said.
A Jedi Master recovered, and to the light returned? Little enough it is, for so great a deed.
Ventress looked as if she couldn't believe what she was hearing. And if the truth were to be told, Kenobi could scarcely believe it himself. But he found that he agreed.
Except, do you?
Ventress nodded.
I do. But you're going to have to trust me.
Anakin, of course, didn't trust Ventress as far as he could force throw her. Kenobi did, to an extent. He trusted Ventress to not do something that would get them all killed. And he trusted what he believed she felt for Voss. It remained to be seen, of course, if Voss returned her sentiments. And if so, that would have to be dealt with. But all that could wait until they had brought the Jedi Master safely back home. Anakin fidgeted. Kenobi could hardly blame him. It was not a place he had ever dreamed he'd willingly be. Yet here they both were, in the Banshee's cockpit.
And you're certain the ship's cloaking device is active?
Anakin asked uneasily.
I don't want to be hurtling out of hyperspace unprotected into the path of a dozen Separatist cruisers.
Ventress smiled a little.
I'm as sure as I'm going to be. Have a little faith, Skywalker.
Faith? In you?
I'm the only chance you've got right now. So yes, you'd better have faith. Here goes nothing. Fingers crossed, boys.
She pressed the button with a long forefinger, and they dropped out of hyperspace into the very center of a crowded flow of dozens of Separatist vessels. everything from starfighters to frigates to Dooku's looming flagship.
Oh, boy, muttered Anakin.
It isn't too bad, Kenobi said, sounding unconvincing even in his own ears. He and Anakin exchanged tense glances. Ventress stretched cat-like in the chair.
And nobody seems to notice us. How about that?
While Anakin scowled at Ventress, whose smirk only grew, Kenobi put in,
Well, it would be nice if we actually had a plan.
Ventress's stony look returned, and she ceased toying with Anakin.
I believe the plan was to get Voss off that ship.
She pointed at the enormous Providence-class dreadnought that was leading the fleet. Ventress slowed and allowed the Banshee to drop back, carefully maneuvering out of the path of any of the other ships, which were, thankfully, clearly unaware of their presence. Obi-Wan could see the ship's hangar. The doors were open, but of course there would be a particle shield erected to prevent anyone or anything from entering or departing without permission.
And exactly how do you intend to do that? Anakin asked.
I worked with the Separatists once, remember? They have a finite number of channels and codes that vary depending on the sector and the name of the operation's flagship. Given that, I think it should be...
She touched the controls.
Permission to depart,
came a voice. Obi-Wan and Anakin exchanged glances. The Elder Jedi was impressed.
Code?
AYF-47562.
Permission granted,
said the voice. And while the fighter eased out to join its fellows, Ventress brought the cloaked Banshee smoothly inside. She landed it gently. Any noise it might have made covered by the sound of the fighter's departure. There was a slight shimmering around the entrance to the hangar as the force field was reactivated. The lights inside the hangar dimmed, indicating that attention was no longer on the area. Ventress did a quick scan for droids or lifeforms.
We're clear,
she said, and lowered the ramp.
Okay,
Anakin said grudgingly.
That was, not too shabby. Now we just have to figure out where Voss would be.
Well, Kenobi said, lifting a